In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. As we celebrate today Saint Josemaria's First Holy Communion, which took place on April 23 in 1912, it's about 109 years ago, we would like this anniversary, a simple family feast, to help us draw some resolutions and deepen certain convictions when we look at the life of Saint Josemaria and how he prepared for that moment when his soul touched God for the first time. Thus, I thought that we can, perhaps in our prayer, consider the elements or the circumstances, historical, religious, revolving around that moment or moments in which Saint Josemaria was prepared by others and prepared himself to receive our Lord. For most of our prayer, we are going to make use of what is recorded for us in his biography. And the biography tackles quite extensively and in detail many points that help us to see how God was preparing the soul of young Josemaria for later on the grandeur of the mission and adventure that he would entrust to him when he made him see Opus Dei and the mission of spreading it to all the world. The first point that I find rather interesting is his first confession. Obviously, it's not similar to what we do today, that the first confession is very proximate to the first communion. His first confession took place anywhere between the late 1908 and early 1909. And 3 years would pass from that day until he would receive our Lord in his first Holy Communion. The narration, the biographer tells us that due to a apostolic visitation that was going to take place in Barbastro, where Saint Josemaria was born, the people were then encouraged precisely to prepare themselves with a good confession so that they could receive the indulgences attached to the pastoral visitation. We are told that it was during the school year of 1908-1909 when the boy was attending the school of the Pierist Fathers, and our father's mother personally prepared her son for his first confession. And she took him to her confessor, Father Enrique Labrador. And we are all familiar with what transpired in the first confession of Saint Josemaria. And perhaps it would merit our prayer and also to appreciate the simplicity with which the boy was brought there by his mother. And the biographer tells us that in those days it was customary for men and boys to make their confession kneeling in front of the half door behind which the priest sat, while women and girls used the grill on the side. When the good Pierist greeted him, the boy knelt down but was too short to see over the half door. The priest had to open it and let him kneel inside. As the penitent confessed his sins, Father Labrador listened to him with a smile. For a moment, the boy felt a little discouraged because he thought he was not being taken seriously, as he always was by his father. But then the confessor gave him a little advice and imposed on him a penance. That first confession brought great peace to his soul. He ran home to announce that he had a penance to do. His mother offered to help him. "No," said the little one, "I have to do this penance all by myself. Father told me you should give me a fried egg." And many years ago, I did not fully understand what was so unique about this penance, a fried egg. But later on, in my own years in the priesthood, and quite recently I was reminded of it because a student in one of the schools where I was a chaplain had phoned in, and his introductory remark was, "Father, do you remember? I was the one you gave me a penance to eat a tiramisu." And I said, "Well, I can't recall that fairly right now." Then he described the situation. It was simply that I do remember now that someone gifted me with quite a huge piece of tiramisu and cut it into two. And as the boy went to confession, I noticed that he was also staring at the tiramisu. And so at the end of which, of his confession, I told him, "For your penance, why don't you indulge in the other half of the tiramisu?" Years had passed, and I've forgotten all about that. But it is for us to realize that that priest who heard the confession of St. Jose Maria wanted to help the boy see that the sacrament of penance was not something to fear, but rather, truly where one can experience the mercy of God and also God's humor. And that is the beginning in which we can say that God had touched the soul of our founder. In between is much of his childhood and education that is later on described for us. And I would like us to focus again on the fact that if his first confession was heard by a piarist priest, well, his education was also entrusted to these same piarist fathers. And I thought, though it might seem trivial, but quite interesting, and also for our prayer, it may not sound related, but later on, I hope to be able to elaborate more on this point. And what is outstanding about the education he received, besides many points that are very positive, is that the piarists were known precisely for how they taught their students how to write. The biographer, in fact, elaborates more on this. He says, "The most specialized and outstanding instruction given in the school was in the art of handwriting. The piarist fathers were well known for the piarist script, an elegant, distinctively Spanish style of lettering characterized by tall, thick strokes and a lack of any ornamentation or eccentricity. You had to work at it a lot to master the skill. Beginners spoiled sheet after sheet of paper. Their lines veered off into capricious curves like the contours of a mountain range, while they stained their fingers dunking their pens in the ink wells. Then the teacher would come over and correct the children. He would show them how to hold the pen, and to help them keep their lines straight, would put sheets of heavily lined paper under their writing sheets so that they could follow the neat parallel lines that showed through the translucent paper." Why did I bring this up? Because I believe this is something that is so marked in the memory and the heart of the founder. In fact, the biographer concludes saying, "Years later, these memories summoned up a supernatural metaphor in St. Jose Maria's mind. God, in his omnipotence, he once said, does not need lined paper or even a pen. As people write with a pen, he said, our Lord writes with the leg of the desk so that we can see that he is the one doing the writing." And this was his education that he had received and forged him. And during the time, related now to his first Holy Communion, in Spain, as in many other countries, children had not, as a rule, been making their first communion before the age of 12 or 13. But by a decree issued in 1910 by Pope St. Pius X, the age requirement was lowered to when the use of reason is acquired, which is about the age of 7. The timing of this ruling coincided with preparations for the International Eucharistic Congress to be celebrated in Madrid in June 1911. An intense catechetical effort was launched in all the parishes of Spain so that the greatest possible number of children could receive communion. These were the events, we can say, that prepared, or the ingredients that were slowly being mixed to prepare the heart and mind of Saint Jose Maria for April 23, 1912. Now, going to that day of his first communion, or the days prior to it, we again find that the one who helped him prepare for that great event of receiving Jesus sacramentally was another Piarist father, Father Manuel Laborda. And he is well known, not for anything, perhaps a contribution to the church, but because of what he had taught Saint Jose Maria is now the spiritual legacy of this very simple priest. And what he taught to Saint Jose Maria was the spiritual communion. The biographer once again tells us that Father Laborda, of the Virgin of Carmel, as he was commonly called, Father Manolé by all the students, was the one who prepared Saint Jose Maria for his first communion. Sometime before the long-awaited day arrived, he taught the boy a prayer to use to keep that desire for the Eucharist ever alive. I wish, my Lord, to receive you with the purity, humility, and devotion with which your most holy mother received you, with the spirit and the fervor of the saints. From that time on, Saint Jose Maria recited this prayer very often. And as the days approached for the first Holy Communion, it was customary that the boys and the girls would prepare themselves physically. Among these, we can say cosmetic preparations was for the children, at least for the boys, to go to the barber. And there was the appointed day when Saint Jose Maria went to a hairdresser to give him an elegant and nice look. But while gathering up some hair to make a curl, he burned the boy's scalp with a hot curling iron. Saint Jose Maria suffered it in silence to avoid the hairdresser being taken to task or anyone getting upset. And one can imagine that at that age of 7, perhaps that would have been quite a stir, quite an experience for a young boy like Saint Jose Maria. I remember accidentally burning my hands over the hot plate of the stove in a friend's house, and I was wielding my head off. Imagine a boy of 7 whose scalp was burnt, how he kept that silently to himself, because he did not want to inconvenience anyone. His mother did eventually find out about it, but only much later when she discovered the scar left by the burn. And this shows that the burn was quite serious. And therefore, Saint Jose Maria would find that on his special days, our Lord would announce his presence with a touch of pain or a twinge that felt sweet like a caress. And we can imagine, parallel to this, is how God not only prepares Saint Jose Maria for the reception of his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity physically, but also spiritually with the sign of the cross. And finally, when Saint Jose Maria received his first Holy Communion, he would precisely to say that on that day, God chose to come and take possession of my heart. And this was precisely his experience. And the ceremony was held in the Church of the Piarist Fathers. At the moment of communion, Saint Jose Maria prayed for his parents and sisters and asked Jesus for the grace of never letting him lose him. He would always observe with unabashed fervor the anniversaries of that wonderful day in which our Lord, as he put it, chose to come and take possession of my heart. we can pause here after having considered all of these biographical points of our father's life. In the first place, to ask ourselves, how do I treasure every sacramental moment with Jesus? Do I return to them also as an event when God chose me and took possession of my heart? I think we should ask Saint Jose Maria's intercession in our prayer today, especially when we have to foster the same desires, the same dispositions, preparations, to receive such a great grace as our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we should ask Saint Jose Maria to also learn how to treasure these sacramental moments of our life, and how we can, through our memory, through our imagination, return to them also as an event, knowing, fully aware, that God also chose you and me and took possession of your heart and mine. Moreover, we can ask ourselves, what can I truly remember of those sacramental moments? Or have I shelved them in some mental recycle bin? Do I realize that I cannot thank our Lord enough for these sacramental encounters then and now? Some saints would say that one day, in the presence of our Lord, one of the questions He will ask you and me is precisely, how did we treasure our first Holy Communion? And perhaps now, examining our consciences in prayer, we realize that we could have truly taken our Lord with greater devotion. But if not, then now is the time to repeat that prayer that Saint Jose Maria loved, that our Father loved. I wish, Lord, to receive you with the purity, humility, and devotion with which your most holy mother received you, with the spirit and the fervor of the saints. As we have considered all of these details that prepared the heart, the soul, and the mind of Saint Jose Maria to receive our Lord, we also realize that God makes use of instruments to prepare Him for His holiness, as He also prepares others to lead us towards holiness. We can see this in the first place, our Father's parents, and how God made use of the Piarist Fathers. And it is precisely in this point that I find it very useful that these Piarist Fathers, who may have taught Saint Jose Maria how to write with that peculiar style, also taught him his spiritual handwriting. And you and I can think in our own lives of the many countless of souls who have sacrificed themselves, labored in order to teach us our own spiritual handwriting. Those who have brought us closer to God, and those who have helped us to see our vocation. And maybe even those who may not have been very attractive or affectionate in showing us the path towards God. I remember that in the conversion story of in one of the more modern figures of holiness, such as Charles Foucauld, who founded a group of hermits, a very, very stringent, simple life living in the desert. Well, this man was converted because he was forced by the priest to go to confession. He was an agnostic and he didn't want to go to confession. But then the priest forced him, says, you have to go to confession. And he forced him to kneel down and force Charles to confess his sins. And he did. But after confessing his sins, he says, then I understood and a light entered and I believed. And so we must not disregard the fact that God may use of instruments such as this, not always, but how grateful are we for the many souls, both seen and unseen, who have helped us find our way to the heart of Jesus. That is why I think it is so fitting to play with a parallelism for our spiritual life, as we had seen in the life of Saint Jose Maria. And what is this parallelism that I'm talking about? We see his first confession, which is far away still from his first communion. And then we see that the Pierius Fathers had helped him learn how to write, acquiring a peculiar mark for his identity. And finally, his Holy Communion. Now, what am I trying to come out here with? Well, if we look at the opposite side, his first confession seems to be parallel to the moment when he went to the barber. Because the first confession is supposed to make us presentable to God by purifying our souls, making us beautiful before God. Well, when he went to the barber, he was preparing for precisely communion to make himself look presentable and beautiful. And then we see that the handwriting comes parallel to the fact that he was burnt on the scalp, because suffering, the cross, is God's handwriting. And so it has marked the life of Saint Jose Maria. As his handwriting was taught to him by the Pierius Fathers, well, that has been something identifying of him all the rest of his life. But God said, well, I will teach you my handwriting. And this is my handwriting. I write with the sign of the cross. And finally, with all of this put together, parallel, we see how Holy Communion, God truly chooses us and takes possession of our hearts. Now, in this sort of table of parallel events, we somehow see stages wherein we are invited to discover and experience the deeper love and invitation of God to conversion. In the first place, how are we constantly making ourselves presentable to God? Striving to make our souls beautiful before you, Lord. And how do we learn this through our constant deepening in our piety, our purifications? And definitely, how do we delve deeper into our studies and knowledge of God? And we realize that this is so important because this is part of the cultivation of our souls, making it more susceptible, open to the grace of God and its action. So this is how we beautify our souls, through piety, through constant penance and purification, and study. And these are important. This is like the first part in which it depends on us, because since we long to grow in love for God and love for the others, we can't just expect everything to come from God. We must show to our Lord, at least manifest and demonstrate our desires and longings to grow in our love for Him. And the second stage is learning to improve in our spiritual handwriting. And definitely, as we saw here, that Saint Jose Maria took from the lessons of calligraphy or writing well, how he took a lesson from there. God doesn't need a pen. With a table leg, he can write pretty well so that it will be seen that it is him who is doing the writing. Well, our Father wants us to realize that God's handwriting is written with a cross. And our spiritual handwriting too must go in hand with this idea of writing with God, allowing God to write His love in our lives. And we know that sometimes we will resist it because we cannot comprehend, we cannot understand, but we have to allow God to write. And so we have to give God all the paper and so tell Him, Lord, here it is. Here's my life, the page of my life, the only page which I have today. Write on it. Write on it your love. Write on it so that I will be converted. Write on it so that I will be fruitful. And finally, with these stages more or less achieved, then the soul is ready for a communion with God. Because God chooses us, and then, as Saint Jose Maria loved to say, then He keeps us for Himself. He makes us His possession. And we cannot give ourselves to God as His possessions if we are not prepared in a way purified, beautiful, at the same time, we cannot also give ourselves if we don't have a specific identity or what we call the spiritual handwriting. Let us examine now our consciences and our souls, our desires, and ask whether we are fostering all of these indispensable dispositions so that we will allow Jesus to choose us and make us his possession. We return to the prayer of the spiritual communion, which, as we have said, that simple Pieris priest, Father Laborda, had taught Saint Jose Maria, our father, unknowingly. It would be a prayer recited by millions and millions of people, because one soul's heart was set on fire by that prayer. And if you notice, it's a prayer that encapsulates everything necessary so that our souls will constantly be beautiful before God, purified. And at the same time, it maintains the very conditions that will allow us to be chosen by God and to become his possessions. Thus we say, I wish, because we express our desire. What do we wish? To receive you, Lord. That is the object of our desire. But I want, Lord, and I know that I can only receive you if I'm pure, if I'm humble, and if I have devotion. Notice, this purity is like the image of Saint Jose Maria going to confession. That humility of allowing God to write, perhaps being burnt on his scalp, but God had written and he allowed it to humbly happen in his life. And devotion, his heart was taken as the possession of God. It set it on fire. And we add to that prayer the purity, humility, and devotion with which your Most Holy Mother received you, because there is no other model like Mary who could truly contain Jesus in her womb because of that great desire that she had to do the will of God. And we end it also asking the intercession of the saints, because the saints were those men and women who truly knew how to desire God, as though nothing else mattered here on earth. Thus, we ask them that we may receive Jesus as they did, with the same spirit and fervor. Our Lady, help us that as we celebrate today another anniversary of Saint Jose Maria, we may, like him, learn to desire and treasure and foster a great devotion for Jesus, so that with that devotion we can set other souls and hearts on fire with love for him. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.